Go to the book of Joshua chapter 2. And if you'll go there, just go. I'll let you turn there as I put this stuff away real quick.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Turn there, and when you get there, just give me a good amen. Had to move all that stuff. I didn't want to get tangled up in it. That had been a mess, so we just had to get it out of the way. But Joshua 2, chapter 2. We've been studying these chapters in Sunday school and just some things the Lord's laid on my heart as of here recently. And I was thinking, I said, well, we're actually in the book of Joshua in Sunday school. I said, what a coincidence, but God knows what we need. Well, tonight's going to just touch these verses in a different way. I don't know, you may have heard them along these lines, I don't know, but just some things I feel like God's shown us in Scripture to share with you tonight. Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 through 14, this is what it says. And of course, we know the story, the two spies go into Jericho. And they're spying out Jericho, and then we know that they end up, the king's looking for them. They're in Rahab's, the harlot's home, or wherever where she was there, that home inside the wall there. And we know that she hid them, and this is what she says unto them in verses 9 through 14. And she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites and were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in the earth beneath. Now, for I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, and that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours. Notice that. I want you to focus on the words. Our life for yours. If you utter not this our business, and it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Amen. Tonight, this is going to be a different style of message, but it's a message to the church. And I desire to do more for the Lord. I'm sure we all do. But tonight, I want to deal on the ministry of vulnerability. The ministry of vulnerability. Has anybody ever heard the word being vulnerable before? It's when you willfully, sometimes ignorantly, people do it. But tonight I want to talk about the ministry of vulnerability. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you in prayer tonight on this Sunday night, we would, Lord, as we open and enter into the Word of God, the sacred things of God, this precious desk that I stand behind even tonight, that you'd help us, God. You anoint us, Lord. You know the needs in this sanctuary. God, I just want to talk from my heart on the things that you've laid on my heart and my spirit, dear Jesus. We love you and we thank you tonight, God, for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, we love you and we thank you, Lord. You're so true and faithful. I love you with all of my heart. In Jesus' name, we thank you for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The ministry of vulnerability. Now, when we come to these verses tonight, and this is going to be a different message because there's some message that just outlines so well. Well, these are just a lot of thoughts in my mind. Some things I feel like God's laid in my heart. And so try to deliver to you the way I feel it sometimes. They come out a little scattered or a little slow, sometimes a little fast. But just bear with me. I just want to get the point across to you tonight. But there's a challenge in evangelism that all of us face. Now, I hope all of us here are doing our best to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, of course, we do it in the world nationally. We do it in the world, but also I hope locally and family-wise, you're doing everything you can, evangelism, which means reaching out and trying your best to see souls won and to the kingdom of God. And look, I hear me today, my friend. I know that this is a challenge for all of us because we all desire to do more for the Lord. I hope you do. I hope that's in your heart. And I hope evangelism is something that is the heartbeat of God, but I also believe it should be the heartbeat of the believer as well. But there's a challenge when it comes to evangelism that I have found myself involved in over the years, and even as being a pastor, there's a challenge of evangelism that you are required when you're reaching out to the lost and when you're trying to see somebody come to the Lord and see somebody discipled, you, in a way, my friend, you have to open your hearts to others, and when you do that, you make yourself vulnerable to people. Now, I want you to follow what I'm saying tonight. Don't think that I'm crazy. But even up here tonight, guess what? I'm being pretty vulnerable to you right now. I really am. I'm showing you what's in my heart. I'm talking to you from my very being. I'm up here and I don't have much confidence in myself, but here I am. I laid myself and even Brother Glenn and different ministers and Sunday school teachers, but every time you grace a pulpit or you enter into a Sunday school class, what you're doing, you're making yourself vulnerable to the people that you're trying to reach and you're trying to disciple. Now, the greatest fear that I have as in doing this and doing evangelism is that I'm always afraid of being rejected of what I'm preaching. I'm always afraid of somebody saying, well, look, you know, I hear the Word of God and I always desire for people to come to the altars. I desire for people to get saved. That's just like when God gives me a message on salvation and you know sinners are there and you're sitting there, you make yourself vulnerable to them and you're reaching out to them, but you always have the fear that maybe, Lord, if I preach this and when I obey you, what if somebody doesn't come? It's the kind of idea, you know, what if I throw a party and nobody shows up? You don't like that happening. Well, you know, in a spiritual sense, in ministry, when you do evangelism, you might think you worry maybe just the same way. I know we give it to God, but you always expect and you want somebody just to obey the Lord. You know, when I teach on the gifts of the Spirit, I'm hoping that you receive that and you seek after the gifts. When I teach on salvation, I hope it brightens your mind on salvation. When I teach on the Holy Ghost, I hope you seek for fillings and refillings. And my friend, guess what? I've learned in ministry and I've learned in evangelism, there's times that you bear your heart to individuals and people and they don't receive it well. Now, follow me. I'm talking about on that evangelistic basis. We always wrestle with that. I don't know if you do, but I do. What if I go and they don't receive me? What if I preach and teach and witness to them and show my heart to them and make myself vulnerable to them and they do not receive me? And guess what? There's been a lot of times in my ministry I have been rejected. There's been times when people have told me no. There's been times that I've given money, I've given my heart, I've given my testimony, I mean, I've given my home, I've given my vehicle, and guess what? They turn right around and guess what? They reject exactly what you're trying to do, and that hurts me. But I want to encourage us today, and you must follow me, but there's been just as many times, not many times, but sometimes, that my vulnerability actually stimulated in somebody else a need and a desire that they would trust me. They looked at me and they said, look, this brother is willing to show me his heart. This brother is willing to share his testimony. This brother is willing to lay something on the line for me. He's telling me things that he doesn't like to talk about. Guess what, my friend? There's been times in the pulpit that God's touched my heart and I've shared things I hadn't wanted to share. I've told things that really, it was things in the back of my mind, but God says, tell it. There's things even in my wife's life we've shared with people because even though it hurts us and it wounds us, we know that act of vulnerability, share and reach out to somebody. I hope you follow me today, tonight. But hear me today, my friend, we need to be careful in ministry that we do not harden ourselves and become unapproachable and untouchable and intangible. I've witnessed this throughout the Holiness Church where people quit being vulnerable to those that are trying to reach. They almost go systematically. They go through the lesson or they go through something and you can tell that the lesson they're talking about, they never put themselves there, but they like to put everybody else there. Maybe you've never met nobody like that. Amen. That's why I'm here sometimes. I speak about myself and say, I need the Lord. I need strength. I need encouragement. I'd like to see this. I'd like to be here. And what I'm doing there, I'm being vulnerable unto you that you would understand, look, that you're not alone where you're sitting. That you also can be used of the Lord. That also there's those of like desire just like you. And in that vulnerability, my friend, we have to be careful that we don't become unapproachable and untouchable. Now, listen to me tonight. I have often asked myself, if I was a sinner, would I come to this church? I ask myself this as a pastor. Would I come to Abundant Life Tabernacle and would I trust my heart to those that are sitting beside me? If I was a sinner, if I was a drug addict, could I come to these pews and sit there? Could I show show myself to somebody? Or do I feel like when I come there that I cannot be vulnerable to others because I cannot trust them, because I do not know them, my friend? That is the challenge of ministry. We are asking people to come within our reach, asking people to come within our grasp. And my friend, if they're going to be vulnerable unto us, we first must be vulnerable unto them. We first must open our heart up to them before sometimes they'll ever open their heart up to us. That's exactly what God did to you. He loved you first before you ever loved Him. He was vulnerable to you first before you ever became vulnerable unto Him. Now hear me today, because this is something that is important in evangelism and ministry. When we come to the book of Joshua chapter 2, you know this from Sunday school, but these two spies go into Jericho to spy out the city. There's a singular story about 38 or 40 years before this where they sent the 12 spies in, or it was 10 or 12. Help me, my line went blank. 12 spies in, thank the Lord, I couldn't remember. But just sent the 12 spies in there, and we know the story. There was a negative report and two had a positive. And my friend, here it is at Jericho. You find a singular situation. Even though the Bible does not tell us that God told Joshua to do so, it was obviously the will of God for these two spies to go into Jericho. People say, why did they go into Jericho? Why did they spy out the land? There's different theories about this, but I believe this woman by the name of Rahab was in the eyes of God, and He wanted to reach her. I don't believe myself. You can have differences here. It wasn't because they had to have information. It wasn't because they had to know about the city. God was going to take care of the city, and they were never going to walk through the gates. God knew that somebody within that city needed to be reached. God knew that Rahab within that city had heard about God, had heard about His power, had heard about His testimony, and the Bible lets us know that, that we hear the word, and then faith comes. We know that this woman in there has faith in the living God. So God sends these men in there. They did not have to go in there, but I believe this was the will of God. You find a parallel. John chapter 4, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Look, He could have got to Galilee another way. But my friend, He said, I'm going through Samaria, not because it's a shortcut, and not because I'm just thirsty. He said, I'm going there because somebody there needs me. Somebody there needs to hear about me. Somebody there needs to receive me. So my friend, we hear this. We know these two spies come into Jericho. The news spreads about them being there, and the king is searching for them. And we know the story here. The two spies are at Rahab's house, the harlot's house, and they are forced to trust her. My friend, they really don't have another option here. They have the king is looking for them, and these are wicked people. I doubt if they caught them, they would have showed much mercy, but they're looking for them. They know that they're there to spy out the city. And so here it is, these two men are face to face with Rahab, and they have to become vulnerable unto her. We don't know exactly all the conversation before, but we do know this. They compare in their conversation to Rahab that she would hide them for her. I don't know how it went. Maybe they looked at Rahab, and maybe they said something like this. We don't know who you are, but look here. We are here. We are Hebrews. I want to tell you, we're here to spy out the city. However they told her, but basically this is what they're saying. This is who we are. This is my life. And Rahab, if you do not protect us, we are going to die. They're making themselves vulnerable unto Rahab. That's what they are doing here. My friend, hear me. Obviously she knows the identity according to the story we read here. But I picture them in my mind looking at Rahab and exposing themselves to her and saying, look, we are here. We need your help. My friend, please do not betray us. We're being vulnerable unto you. Hear me today. These men are in a very dangerous place. They are in a very vulnerable place. Now follow me. They are in the city of Jericho because it is the will of God. My friend, they're there because this is the will of God. It's the way that it's worked out, and God has them there in a dangerous place of vulnerability that they are having to trust somebody that they really do not know. Now follow me. There's been times, this is the way it comes in my spirit. There's been times in ministry, you're in a position that maybe you were not voted to be there. Maybe you did not desire to be there so much, but God wanted you there. And you're in a situation where you're forced to be vulnerable unto somebody. You're forced to be vulnerable to an individual. And here you are, my friend. You are in the place place of danger and you make yourself vulnerable to others. My friend, that's what preachers, soul leaders, teachers, ministry workers, that's what we do. We become vulnerable. We share things that we consider sacred. We trust people with secrets and stories about us. Even though those are times we're rejected. But there's sometimes in ministry, I stand before somebody and just follow me for a few moments. I'm looking at them. I'm in the will of God and I say, look, this is what I am. This is what I'm called to do. This is where God has me. And I need you to understand this. God has a purpose for you. God has something. Look, I've been where you've been. Look, I understand what it is to be bound up in my. I know that. And there you make yourself vulnerable to them, my friend. Hear me. I have preached before and felt myself so vulnerable on the pulpit before others. I tell my hurts. I've told of my failures. I've given my money to others. I've taken time hoping that somebody will respond to me, and I've made myself vulnerable unto them. And there's been times I've been rejected, but there's been times I've been accepted. Now I want you to follow this. Please don't get lost in what I'm trying to say. This is a form of reverse evangelism. Follow me. It's opposite than what you would expect to do. Now, you find here, when they came into Jericho, they did not go up to Rahab and say, look, you're going to die. You better rescue me. God's about to judge you. You better hide me. They didn't go to Rahab. They did not tell her what she was and what she needed to do. They didn't go to her and say, ugh, you're a harlot. And you need to get saved. Sometimes that's some people's only approach in evangelism. All they knew how to do is tell people what's wrong. And they're afraid to be vulnerable. I'll tell you, I've won more people from being vulnerable unto them with my heart than I ever have by being hard. I had a preacher tell me years ago, he said, preach it hard. I don't care, just preach it hard. Preach it hard, hard, hard. I tried that, and it was miserable. There's been times God's told me to preach on things. But I'm telling you what's been more effective and has been the ministry of the Holy Ghost for centuries. He's taken men, and though there's times you're John the Baptist on the shores of Jordan and you're telling people repent, there's other times you're Jesus sitting by a well and saying, I'm thirsty, can you get me something to drink? You've got to learn, my friend. There's ministry that is hard. Yes, it's good telling the harlot, maybe she's wrong if God's lead you, but there's other times you may have to get down in the mud. You may have to get down in the blood like a good Samaritan. You may have to give up your donkey. You may have to spend your money. You may have to be vulnerable unto them, and they'll be vulnerable unto you. I like what David Wilkerson said one time. He said, you go up to a dog that's got a pork chop and you try to take it from him, he's going to bite you. He said, don't do that. No, excuse me, I misquoted. If you go up to a dog that has a pork chop bone and try to take it from him, he will bite you. He said, what do? He said, you give him a steak. You give them something greater than what they have, my friend. It's not always. Look, sometimes you gotta. Look, sometimes you gotta preach it straight. Sometimes you gotta eat gunpowder for breakfast and shoot it from the hip if God wants you to. But there's sometimes God will have you get down. He'll make your words as sugar. He'll make your words as sweet. He'll make your words as the balm of Gilead. That's what God wants at times. Notice this. They did not tell her she's about to die. They did not tell her that what she needed to do and what she was. They did not even initially offer her a way out at first. They came to her, my friend. They were vulnerable to her. Notice this. She witnessed their vulnerability, and she began to open herself unto them. Things that we usually think we have to tell them about, she was telling them that she already knew. It's already in here. You know, there's people right here in these streets that know a lot about God. And I've seen people before. I would go to church. I've seen it in ministry before. I'm so hard-nosed, and it's ridiculous in some areas. And I said, my Lord, lead us and guide us. If you want us to be vulnerable. Notice this. Rahab notices their vulnerability. She notices their trust in her. Even though she's a heathen at this time. Or if she, there's arguments about when she got saved. But we notice that she is called Rahab the harlot. That's what the Bible calls her. These men don't know her from Adam or Eve. These people don't really know her. But they are trusting her in a sense. They're being vulnerable to her to a sense. They recognize her vulnerability. And she begins to say things about herself and about the Lord and about her need. Notice this. She notices what she says. She says, look, there is a great amount of fear in my heart. Look, I know that you're here to spy out the city. And look, I appreciate you trusting me with your life. But listen, while you're here, I do not appear like I am. I am afraid in here. Him. We are ashamed in Him. She said, I've heard about the Lord and what He's done. I heard that He's able to free people. I heard about you. Listen to me. Please, I know you're being vulnerable unto me, but while you're doing this, can I be vulnerable unto you? Look, I heard about y'all being in Egypt. I heard about y'all being in slavery. I heard about the chains. I heard about Pharaoh, but I heard that your God can set people free. I heard about your God can come down to Egypt, send 10 plagues, and know what? Bring you out of Egypt, take you through a Red Sea. She said, I heard about Him. I heard He provides liberty. I heard about the manna. I heard about the Jordan. I hear about all these things. She's saying this, look, I hear about all these things. Notice this. They're not doing anything else but being vulnerable. They didn't ask her if they ought to question there. They're just trusting her. And she's pouring all this out of her. She's showing what's in her heart. Notice this. There is a terror of this. She didn't only reveal the terror within herself, but she says, guess what? I'm not the only one here that's afraid. You know what? I've seen people get saved before, and they told me, I'm not the only one that feels this way. I've held the hands of drug addicts and said, look, I'm going to bring my girlfriend next service because she feels just like I do. And all I did was go pick them up and bring them to church. I've had people look at me before and say, look, I got friends and we talk about this all the time. We know the Lord's coming. I had a man that was committing suicide, trying to commit suicide, came to me, called me up. I see the signs of the time. Can you come pick me up? Get in the car, drive the 45 minutes, pick him up. Even if it's just to let him cry on your shoulder, guess what? Being vulnerable unto him, he became vulnerable unto me. And we look at these things and we have to announce this with our hearts. She said, there's terror among us, even my people. She's saying this, don't let these walls fool you, mister. Guess what? We're afraid in here. I know you can drive chariots on these things. I know there's testimonies about Jericho being set up and nobody can come in or come out. But the reason is, my friend, don't let these walls fool you. Don't think that we are secure. We make ourselves out to be that way, but we're afraid in here. My friend, hear me. Do you think He would have done? Do you think that God that set you free would set me free? Do you think that God that came to Egypt would let me live, would spare my life? I'm asking you, men, thank you for being vulnerable, but here's my heart too. Yes, hear me today, church. I want you to get this. Let's look at Jesus at the well in John chapter 4. You're talking about being vulnerable. I must need to go through Samaria. He sits by the well. That woman comes up. Can you get me something to drink? Now look, you don't just trust anybody to get you something to drink. Now maybe that day I know men trust the women at the well, but I ain't going to sit down with any stranger and say, look, what you got to drink today? There's a point of vulnerability there. You got anything to drink? She talks about different things. We know this, but notice this. A small act of vulnerability opens a flood of confession in this woman's life. Jesus could have looked at her and said, look, now you got five women. I know you got five husbands. I know you. I know what you are. You're the sorriest thing on this side of town. I know that. He could have said that to her. But guess what? He was being vulnerable to her. Look, just give me something to drink. And she says, okay. He talks about, guess what? I don't have anything to get water with. He says, well, I'll give you water that you'll never thirst again. He says, you know what she says back to him? Give me this water. See, his point of vulnerability was, give me something to drink. Now his vulnerability stimulates something to her. Look, he trusts me, but look, sir, that water you're talking about, can I have some of that? Can I drink some of that? And then he says something like this, what about your husband? Oh, I don't have one yet. I know you got five. He don't look at her and say, oh, you sorry rascal. No. She leaves there and says, come see a man who tells me everything I've ever known, everything about me. What stimulated that? What if Jesus came to this earth on a white horse like the Pharisee wanted? What if He had a sword riding around decapitating His victims and the poor and the needless and the needy and the homeless? What if He had done that? My friend, there would have been no reception. But look at our Savior sit down by the rivers, teaching the multitude. Look at our Savior touching the leper. Look at our Savior, my friend. We've got to be like Jesus. We've got to be vulnerable to the place, look, that we don't sacrifice everything about us, but people know that we are tangible. People know that they can talk to us. They know that we're somebody that cares about them. We share a heart with them, and they'll share their heart with us. Now, you've got to follow me. Rahab here, She said, we may seem brave, don't let these walls fool you, but she said this, swear to me that you're going to do what you can to help me. Look here, this is a picture of that one that needs God. She's saying, look, I need God's help. Can you promise me something? Thank you, Lord. Can you promise me this? Can you promise that you'll help me see the vulnerability? It makes her honest. She's saying, look, she is now willing to trust Him with her very life. My friends, hear me. We need men and women coming in this church that are willing to trust us with their life. This is eternity we're talking about. When a man or a woman come to this church, boy or girl, and they look at you, if you're a teacher, minister, whatever you are, just being a Christian. And they look at you on the job. There's times they're looking at you and say, can you help me? They're really saying, can I trust you with my heart? Can I trust you with my life? Can you understand? Can I be vulnerable unto you? That's what this world has listened to. How many people have committed suicide that was looking just for somebody that would be vulnerable unto them? How many people end up committing major failures in life? How many teenagers who could not find one vulnerable adult that would really listen to them and care about them instead of telling them what they're doing wrong? Don't cuss. Don't use the Lord's name for that. Okay, that's all good. But are you vulnerable with your heart? Are you tangible and touchable? That's what you need to understand. Now listen to this. Vulnerability here stimulates vulnerability. When someone shares the secrets of their hearts, even with me, it causes me to open up to them. There's a lot of ministers across this country that I preached for and we never clicked. And there's some guys, we're buddies now. You can tell you why? As soon as I saw him, we sit down to eat, and he begins to share his heart with me. And guess what? I look back and my heart's pouring out to him. A lot of times God's just telling us all the same thing. Hold on, get ready, feed my church, feed the lambs, feed the sheep. And you know what? I find a connection there. You want to tell you what draws the church close? It's vulnerability. It's not every family getting in a compartment and living out there until Jesus comes, praise God. No. You missed it. Why do you think the apostles broke bread with each other and fellowship with each other and talked to each other and had the, you know what it was? They were being vulnerable unto each other. Now I know we all lead busy lives and I'm not trying to set a curriculum for a pattern for anybody doing it. I am saying this. We need to be vulnerable unto each other. Notice this. She admits that she cannot preserve and protect herself. She admits that she needs help. She expresses faith in God. I know He's out there. She knows there's something about Him. But she's saying this. I cannot save myself. I cannot protect myself. Can you help me? How many people right outside our houses and doors that really what they're looking for is somebody to trust? And they realize this point that God's real. And they realize this point that I can't help myself. But they're saying, look, can you help me? Can you show me? Can you help me? She said that in verses 12 and 13. She pretty much said, I've showed you kindness. Now can you please help us? I need you. I need you to help protect me. Look, I understand that He's real, that God's out there, that He set you free. But can you help me when He set me free? Let's quit telling folks about a God they cannot touch. I cannot stand when I've been in some arenas before. The God they preach is a God I don't want to serve. I mean, He's hard-nosed and mean and walks around and just, every time somebody makes a mistake, He assassinates them and that's it. I said, when is God a hitman is what I told one preacher. My God, there's been times in my life, even in error, I found God down beside me saying, son, get up, make it right. I tell you, that's the God we serve. He's a God that loves us and cares for us. He's a God that doesn't want you to fail. He's a God that doesn't want you to sin. Yes, that's true. But He is the God that says, look, I am the good Samaritan. I am the good shepherd. I love you. I'm vulnerable to you. So if we become vulnerable to Him, notice this. This is what the men said back to her. I hope this is your prayer tonight. They look back at her and say this. Our life for yours. They say to her, look, I promise you, all my life for yours, if we do not keep our word, if we do not preserve your life, if we cannot get you the one that can help you, notice this. They say, our life for yours. If I had to die doing so, I'm going to help you be spared. Now notice this. This is the ultimate vulnerability in Scripture. Notice this. This is what Jesus is talking about. No greater love has any man lay down his life for his friends. The ultimate vulnerability is when you look and say, my life for yours. Do you know how many missionaries have went overseas and sacrificed everything, stepped on the foreign shore. They looked at the people that would reject them. They look at them and basically what they're saying is, my life for yours. I know you're in Jericho. I know you're walled in behind dark doctrine. I know you're behind false ideas and concepts. But look, my life for yours. Notice this. She knew that God could set His people free. She had witnessed this, but notice this. She knew their God existed, that He was powerful, but she did not know the covenant. She knew God is powerful, but she did not know God as a Savior. And that's where you come in. We could brag on the power of God and His holiness. We can brag on the 10 plagues and the Red Sea. But let's do more than that. Rahab, listen. This God that you know about, I know your heart is melted. I know that you're fearful. I know you're behind the walls. But listen, this God that you know is all powerful, He is also a Savior. He also loves humanity. He also desires for them to walk after Him. And according to His countenance, the end this today, my friend, the spies told her, look, this is what we want you to do. When we leave, yes, our God is powerful. Our life for yours. But when we leave, I want you to take a scarlet thread. I want you to hang it out of the window. My friend, I believe and study, and there is a tradition in the church going all the way back to Clement of Rome that possibly earlier, that this scarlet cord represents the blood of Jesus Christ. They trace it from Abel all the way to Calvary. Look, just like the blood of the Lamb was on the door there in Egypt and God preserved us, take this scarlet thread. I want this to be the best thing we have at this moment. Hang it out that window, and that's going to be not only the God of power, but you're going to meet a God of redemption. You're going to meet a God of forgiveness. You're going to meet a God of love. My friend, we got to get back to the place. Yes, let's tell them about the power of God. Yes, let's tell them about the 10 plagues. Yes, we can tell them about the judgment of Egypt. But let's tell them there's a scarlet cord. There's the blood of Jesus. Yes, He's powerful, but He's also forgiving. Hang it out the window. Notice this, my friend. This is believed throughout Scripture. This principle, this represents the blood of Jesus. Now, this was a principle that she did not know of. Yes, He's powerful. Yes, He should be feared. Yes, He's holy. But guess what? He forgives us. And there's this great confession all throughout Scripture. Whosoever says throughout Scripture that they believe on Jesus and that I need a Savior, Rahab is saying, I need help. Guess what? That's music to God's ears. When we meet somebody that needs Jesus, it ain't about getting them to be a member of this church. It ain't about getting them to look like you. It's more than getting them to prayer meeting once a month. It's saying this. There's a Savior. You need help. There's the blood of Jesus. That is where we start. And God will work everything else out. Amen. That's what it's about. Now we look in Scripture and the greatest act of vulnerability was Jesus. Jesus came to this world. He says, my life for yours. He came to this world and says, look, my hands for your hands. My feet for your feet. My life for yours. If you accept my blood, you will be spared. His blood flowed. That was the very life of Jesus. He's saying this, look, I don't want you to die, so I'm going to die for you. Can you find any greater act of vulnerability? Jesus is the greatest act. And my friend, we were just like Rahab. I know we like to think ourselves more like the spies of Joshua. There was a time in your life you're just like Rahab. You're sitting inside the walls. And you're fearful. You put on a facade, a face of being secure, and a facade of bravery. But there was a time in your life, and it may be tonight, you'd have to say along with Rahab, my heart melts within me. I'm fearful. I'm tired. I need help. I know God's powerful. But when He saved my life, you were there. How many remembers that day you got saved? I remember I'd walk around and we call it little man syndrome when you're my size and you act tough. I remember and I am not bragging, but I would not shy away from a fight. You'd hit me, I cut you. I ain't kidding. I've been through more things I could tell you about blow your mind. And I got lost some fights and I won some. But when I came to Jesus, really, I'll tell you what happened. I went to the altar and said, God, I'm afraid. I hate this. I'm sick of acting like I'm acting. And I get down the altar and I pray, God, I know these walls are here, but can you move? Can you save me? My heart's melting. Is there any hope for me? And that's what happened, friend. As brave as I tried to look, I'm afraid, I'm weak, knocked down the walls, but can you spare me? And that's what I want to tell you tonight. My friend, if you're here tonight, God can knock down the walls, but He can still spare your life. Tell the judge. make some noise. And may you may lose a few things. But guess what? When he knocks down the walls, you can still live. A lot of times people are afraid of the walls knocking down because what's going to happen to them? I'm telling this. Hang the thread out the window. And me and Brother Glenn's talked about it, but I believe this. I believe when the walls knocked down, there was one piece of wall standing. And maybe Rahab poked her head out the window. Mom and Daddy, we're all right. Take the walls down, God, but you can still save me. Knock down the walls of lust. Knock down the walls of sin. Knock it down, Lord, but you still, you can take it all out. But I know you can spare my life in it all. And that's what's so wonderful about this story. Knock down the walls, but save me. Hear me tonight. I guess we could say that Rahab was saved by thread. As we look at this, we are the Rahabs, be honest. But God also wants us to be like these spies. She was accepted by God. Notice this. When we are vulnerable unto others in ministry, and they're vulnerable back to us, and then God knocks down the walls. I'm sure you've had witnesses. You may be here tonight, and some of you can say, I remember when God knocked down the walls, but I'm standing here. I am in a new family. I'm in a new city. I've got a new Savior. And guess what? I've never been happier. Get this. When Rahab and his family was spared, God accepted her and her new allegiance. And my friend, we can only imagine how God took off. Harlot, a Moabite, here it is, a Jericho, somebody is a Moabitess, and they brought her into the nation of Israel. But hear me, how would that work? Harlot? Pagan? I mean, just a wicked heathen? And she's walking among the Jews that live holy and righteous and serve a holy God. And don't even think in your mind that there's something like the Gibeonites this morning. Well, she was allowed to live among the Jews as a woodcutter and water carriers for the community. No, it wasn't that. You find her marrying. You find this woman by the name of Rahab. She didn't come into Israel and they treated her like a second-class citizen. She married a man of the tribe of Judah. They had a son named Boaz who married Ruth, the Moabitess. Their son was Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who was the father of the King David. And this tremendous story, you read the book of Matthew, she's in the lineage of Jesus. She in second class. God put her right up there as a prime citizen of Israel. Isn't it amazing? God can take a prostitute, bring her to a Abundant Life tabernacle. She don't have to settle for leftovers. You can take her, no. We look at her and say, welcome into the family of God. Yes, you may not be everything we want you to be right now, but we're vulnerable to you. Be vulnerable to us. We love you and God can use them. You're looking at one tonight. We look at this, my friend. This is tremendous. Rahab was given not a second-class salvation, but a first-class salvation. So we look at this, my friend. And this is, I've told you this. I know as a pastor you're going to hear stories over. I'm sorry if you do. But doing jailhouse ministries, I learned this fact. It was the greatest experience for me. I discovered that being vulnerable unto them in the jailhouse, they became vulnerable unto me. And they were like the Rahabs. I've sat there before, and I'm not exaggerating. I remember preaching multiple times. One time, I watched a man, big, buff, bad, tattoos, tears down the side, tattooed tears, and they said, that's for killing people. I don't know how, I know you can get a tattoo anywhere, so I don't know what all that stuff means. But basically, I've had men say something like this, and even though they didn't say it with words, but I read their tears. They're like Rahab. They said, don't let these tattoos and muscles fool you. I'm afraid. Don't let these orange jumpsuits fool you. I'm scared in here. Don't let there's a pastor there. Don't you think for one? I've had people say, I need forgiveness. I've had people say, would you help me? Would your God forgive me? I had a man who was a child molester say, would your God forgive me? Yes, He will. Doesn't mean all the consequences just disappear. But you can't be forgiven. You don't know vulnerability till you reach through a little jailhouse feeding door, grab the hand of a murderer, and watch him bawl. Look, behind my criminal acts and tattoos and muscles and all this tough language, I'm afraid. There's been times in there I felt the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I asked God, let it be more often. where they begin to act up, and I speak under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I watch men cry. I say, you better quit it. You're going to leave. God's trying to deal with you, and watch them cry. What is that? They're trying to hide. But when you're vulnerable unto them and say, look, I was where you were. I am one that was saved and forgiven. And they look back at me and they say, can he help me too? Can he help me too? My friend, we look at this. That's not just for the sinners. And I'm going to close in this point right here. But my friend, our confession of our faults and also our vulnerability is to one another. The Bible lets us know, James 5 and 16, confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know what? In the body of Christ, Jesus was vulnerable to us. You know what? We're vulnerable to Him, but also we become vulnerable unto each other. We all need to be tangible to each other. I'm going to close with this story right quick, and I'm just going to close right here. Ernest Gordon, I don't know if you ever heard of him before, but he was an officer of a British Army during the Second World War. He was captured by Japanese while at sea, and at age 24, he was sent to work in the prison camp that would be constructing the Burma Siam Railroad. Now follow me. For every mile of this track, this vigorous work, every mile of this track, 393 men said had died for every mile of that track being built. They wear nothing but loincloths. They work for hours in scorching temperatures, chopping the way through the tangled jungles. Those who paused out of exhaustion were beaten to death by guards, treated like animals. The prisoners began to act like animals themselves. They became heathens, starved. Living for day to day, they would beat each other and bite each other and hit each other. They became like wild beasts within that camp. They became like closed animals, caged animals. One day the Japanese general came up, and at the end of every day they would sit there and count the tools. The Japanese general came up. He looked at all the prisoners. He lined them up. He said, we got one missing shovel. Who took it? Where is it at? Nobody would say anything. General did not give a second chance. He said these words, kill all. As the men came up, they took the machine guns and cocked the gun. A young boy stood up. He said, it was me. They instantly shot him dead on the spot. They get back to the barracks. And news gets back to all the prisoners. The tool was not missing. They just miscounted. That young boy never stole the tool. But he was saying, my life for yours. This instantly, read the story, this incident with the shovel upon returning to the camp, it changed these men like you would never imagine. Instantly, they were unlike animals. They became like Christians. One of the men remembered a verse in the Bible that said this. One of the men remembered the words of Scripture. Greater love, no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And with that verse, the man that was, there was some that was laying there sick, almost dead. The men there took, they slowly nursed these men back to health every night. The men fully recovered. This man that they fully recovered and was healed became a makeshift chaplain. These men became some of the most honorable men in the prison camp. Because one man was vulnerable. I wonder what God could do in the church where we have moved. And a mindset in the church, I'm saying the church world, follow me, of what I can get, my life, my job, my money, my day, my, me. It should never be. If Jesus was vulnerable, how much more should you and I be vulnerable? If you would stand to your feet tonight, I hope you receive something from God's Word. The man that ended up becoming a chaplain, later became a preacher, that man by the name of Gordon, entered a seminary, became a minister of the message of Jesus Christ. And these are the words that he wrote, faith thrives where there is no hope but God. Faith thrives. You know what's going to happen? As things continue to progress against the church world, it is going to force us to be more vulnerable to each other. Now, when we're dealing with this, look, I understand that you don't have to tell everything about yourself all the time. Look, follow me. But you do need to be approachable. It's all right to share your heart and testimony with others. It's all right if you walk through some dark waters. It's all right to look at somebody else that's been through those waters and say, I've been there too. I know what you're going through. But I wonder tonight, even here among this community, the ministry of vulnerability is needed. How many would agree with me there? My life for yours. My life for yours. And during this altar call, how do you give an altar call like this? It's basically a challenging message to the church. But can we just close our eyes for a moment? Let us pray together. Let's ask God for direction tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I've delivered my heart the best that I could. Can you strengthen, help us as a church minister, encourage and touch? God, if you could, right now, God, let our hearts be vulnerable unto you, Lord Jesus. God, my life for yours. Jesus, you are vulnerable unto us. You came to us. You died for us. You loved us. God, we were likewise, God, that you calls us to trust you. More than anything, God, that vulnerability stimulates vulnerability. And God, that everyone that would pray and touch their hearts, Holy Ghost tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God. I just feel in my heart tonight and I'm not going to do anything special. I'm just going to try to obey the Lord. I want us just to take a few moments, if you would. Get your minds on the Lord just for a few. This is my challenge to you. If you hold a position in this church, search your heart and say, God, help me to be effective in my ministry. Help me to be effective. Even if you got lost loved ones, God, help me be effective. Look, there's going to be times that you can tell it like it is. There's going to be some times that you just have to bare your heart. And like I said, nothing special, but tonight in this altar call, can we just find us a place to pray? Find us a place, bring it to the altar with you. And just ask God to help us. A ministry of vulnerability, Lord. Have abundant life. Be one of those, God, that can see those lost come in, the drug addicts. God, teach us, Lord, how to do ministry. God, we don't want to just go through the motions. God, we want to be effective. Lord, for the young people that come on Wednesday nights, God, let our hearts be vulnerable unto them. For those that come on Sunday mornings, the adults, the visitors, can we be vulnerable unto them? God, I know many here, I would not doubt anybody's fervency. I'm not doing that. I trust everyone here with my heart. And God, I believe they trust me with theirs. But God, help us, Lord, to be effective in ministry. Lord, I know this is different in some forms, but it's what's on my heart.